It's what's in ya. It's what's in ya. My guest on the Saturday Cafe, Roy Zimmerman, and celebrating Loving Day yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
You said, which anniversary?
45th anniversary of that decision of the Supreme Court, yeah.
You had quite the choir with you on that.
I did, so. In my mama's and papa's phase there, you know, John McCutcheon joined me, Laura Love was on that track, and Emma's Revolution sang along too.
Wow. Well, you're here in the studio today beginning a new tour through at least... our area part of the tour. You were in Oregon City last night.
Oregon City.
Salem tonight, and then swinging all the way to Moscow, Idaho before you come back to Eugene. Who is your tour director?
Yeah, exactly. Who books these? Who routes this stuff? You know, right? Exactly. Well, my wife and I book it all together, you know, so that may explain some of it.
You have a new album out as well.
I do. It's You're Getting Sleepy, it's called. It's sort of about the hypnosis that's going on in this election year. There's a song called Vote Republican. I think I did that last time I was on the show here then too, so I won't repeat that one this time, but it's an amazing election year.
Well, I would think election year would be kind of like harvest time, you know, baling time for a hay farmer out in eastern Oregon. It's the busiest time.
It is, you know, and people say that satire should be easy, but it's got, you know what, it gets harder really, you know, when Ann Romney says that we should unzip her husband and, you know, let out the real mitt, right? You know, it's like, how do you compete with that?
Yeah, yeah.
we'll see that he isn't stiff. That was her whole point, was that he isn't stiff. So I don't know what to say about that.
I can't even begin to talk about that on a family radio show.
No, I just did. So that's why you have me in, so someone can begin to talk about it.
As I recall, the last time you were here, you had put together a plan to visit every state before the Republican convention. How is that coming?
Well, this Oregon now counts officially as state number 46.
I had not realized when I looked this up that you'd performed last night. I was wondering whether this counted today, but...
Almost. State, I mean, we can count this officially, but yes, 46 states. Yeah, you know, and I'm
goodness.
Doing great. Yeah.
Who's left?
Well, Washington... I'm going to revisit Florida, so I'm going to officially count that then. California, I've been in a number of times, but I'm going to officially count it when I do my last show there. Mm-hmm. And Georgia, that's it.
You can count Florida twice. You know, it's just a tradition with elections.
Yeah, and I'm counting the state of Jefferson because I have to because Hawaii is going to have to be like a green screen kind of experience, I'm afraid.
Maybe you could just send for an official certificate that you perform there.
Yes, exactly.
Well, if you have a new album, you have new songs that we have not yet heard on the Saturday Cafe. Would you play one for us?
Well, we just heard that song about marriage, you know, and the GOP is all over the marriage thing. They love that marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them signed this official document that said that marriage is between a man and a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And Newt Gingrich did not sign it. Because he believes that a woman is between a man and a marriage. It's similar, but not the same. But they all want marriage to be like it was in the good book. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible. They had in the Bible. They had in the Bible. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible because the Bible tells me so. Now, Abraham and Sarah had a marriage, but she could not bear him a kid. So Sarah gave Abraham a slave girl, and pretty soon they did it, and she did, Lord, Lord. Yeah, pretty soon they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it, and she did. Now I know slavery was banned, but a woman should be free to give a slave girl to her husband. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible. They had in the Bible. They had in the Bible. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible because the Bible tells me so. Now Othniel and Aksaw had a marriage, 'cause she was a battle prize he'd won. Yes, he fought to win Caleb's daughter, and he was Caleb's brother and his son-in-law. Yeah, he was Caleb's brother and his son. Now I know who it sounds like incest. Yes, it does. But a woman should be proud to be married off and princessed. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible, baby. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. Now if two brothers live together and one dies, the other brother must marry his brother's widow. For this is pleasing, yes, it's pleasing in God's eyes. And if he should refuse, then she should steal his shoes and spit right in his face. It's right there in the Bible, Frank. Now Jezebel and Ahab had a marriage. She began usurping all his power. She was wicked, of course, but he could not divorce her. So he had her thrown right off the tower, Lord, Lord, and sent the dogs her carcass to devour. Now I know who it seems excessive, but a woman should submit to her husband or be made a mess of. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. Now if a man should take a woman to be his, and if it turns out he thinks she's not a virgin, well, then her parents have a chance to prove she is. And if they let her down, then every man in town should stone her till she's dead. It's right there in the Bible. Deuteronomy. Now Solomon and Naamah had a marriage, and they were together all their lives. Yes, she was his, and he was pretty busy, 'cause she was one of 700 wives. Lord, Lord. Yes, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now I know that's illegal, but a woman should be one of as many wives as her man can inveigle. I want a marriage, like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible, like they had in the Bible. I want a marriage like they had in the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. I want a hoo like they hoo. I want a hoo like they hoo. I want a hoo like they had in the Bible, because the Bible tells me so. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. Bible tells me so.
My guest today is scriptural scholar and political satirist Roy Zimmerman. Welcome back to the Saturday Cafe. I particularly like the way you sing the entire four-part gospel quartet.
I'm all of the Stadler brothers into one.
I was very tempted to try
now that I think about it.
Put a harmony line into that refrain, but you kept stealing it every time I got the note. Did you actually record that with a quartet, or do you?
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, that's great. The fun of it is just trying to be all the parts myself, yes.
You are performing tonight in Salem at the Grand Theater with Dr. Atomic's Medicine Show.
Yes, I've never seen them, but I hear great reports.
And then traveling, as I said, as far away as Moscow, Idaho, and then back to our listening area on the 29th at the Old World Deli in Corvallis, the 30th at the New Unitarians in Eugene, and July 1st at the Lincoln City Cultural Center.
Absolutely. You have to give me that list before I go, because I have to know where I'm going. That's the way these tours go. But, you know, anybody can look this up also on RoyZimmerman.com on my schedule page, you know, and see where I'm at in a given night. The show in Moscow, by the way, you know, is an interesting example of why I'm doing this tour, this 50-state tour then, too, because I always talk about the bright blue dots. Mm-hmm. You go to the red states, but you find these bright blue dots. These are people who do the progressive work in places where it's not easy to be doing progressive work. And in Moscow, there's this great core of people. They call themselves the intoleristas because they're intolerant of the kind of stuff that's going on around them, you know, then too. And so they're bravely on the corner every Friday doing their anti-war vigil and so forth too, you know.
Sounds like something that it's good to support, and it's good to actually give them some fun for a while.
Yeah,
Yeah.
You're calling the tour the Starving Ear?
Live from the Starving Ear.
I don't think that one is as immediately gettable out here so far from the Hungry Eye.
It's one of the layers. Yes, exactly. Well, but you get it. Yeah, it's a reference to that legendary San Francisco nightclub, the Hungry Eye. Yeah, you know, which begat the careers of Lenny Bruce, Mort Saul, Tom Lehrer, the Kingston Trio, the Limelighters, you know, Maya Angelou, Phyllis Diller. So many people came off that stage who were doing a combination of satire and comedy and music and, you know, and social message then too. Dick Gregory, all kinds of people.
I am betraying my ignorance. Did you ever perform there? Is it too late?
No, by the time I was born in 1957, so that was its heyday, really.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, by the time the rock and roll era came along, they gamely tried to do rock and roll there, and it just never kind of flew, you know. So it was, the name was bought up by a strip club. It became a different kind of Hungry Eye, certainly, you know, right? And which is, I guess, still there. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, if you Google it, you find the strip club in San Francisco and a restaurant in Boston.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Which is, I was trying to research, track down the original, and you find all sorts of specious things because it's the internet, dang it.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for coming off the road and joining me on the Saturday Cafe today.
Thank you for having me, Frank. That's great.
I would love to have one more song if you'd be so
kind. I will do it. Yeah, yeah. This goes out to Wisconsin, certainly, you know, and to the unfortunate, but I must say, rather predictable results there recently. Do not be disheartened. Here's a song then from the point of view of the right wing, perhaps you'd say. Some of the voters who may have participated in the recent election. Well, I did not think about it all of my 8-hour day. And I did not think about it updating my resume. Not in that safe, well-lit office of mine. Not while collecting my overtime and signing my name. But I thought about it all weekend. Yeah, I thought about it all weekend. I thought about it all weekend, and to this conclusion I came. The unions are to blame. There was a painful recession, and the CEO lost his yacht. He had to mortgage his summer home. It's one of just three he's got. How could this happen? Well, I believe it's that one of his employees with health benefits filed a claim. I thought about it all weekend. And I thought about it on my lunch break. And I thought about it on my paid vacation. And to this conclusion I came. The unions are to blame. Unions bargain collectively and more effectively. That ain't fair. They want to share the prosperity, and solidarity is just un-American. It's sickening. They're sticking it to us in the Greek end. I thought about that all weekend. I don't like the unions, brother. All they do is bitch. And I'm thinking, why would I join one when someday I'll be rich? I'll sit and sip an iced tea on the porch and smoke the national pipe, dream of fortune and fame. I thought about it all weekend. I thought about it on my paid vacation, and while I was perusing my pension plan, and when
And I was due for a promotion, and I got it. And when someone's head was on the block and mine was not it. And when Scott Walker said it and I bought it. And when I bought that hot new toy for my kid, I did not make it, but some kid in China did. I think he's a Boy Scout, he's got just three fingers on his right hand. Yeah, I thought about it all Labor Day, and to this conclusion I came. Unions are to blame. Yeah, the unions are messing up my weekend.